Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love. And joining me today is John Murphy, who with his new book, Zentrepreneur, will offer ideas and suggestions for creating a culture of innovation and fearlessness, which is the intent of all conscious and aware citizens during this widespread spiritual revolution we find ourselves in, to actually use New Age ideas and bring them into our everyday home and work life, to overcome resistance to change, to transcend fear-based motivations, and turn good ideas into good results is always the goal. There are many approaches towards improving our understanding of ourselves and the human condition. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you, Cheryl?
Great. Glad to have you here with me. And John, as listeners of Healing From Within are aware, this show seeks to empower our listeners to raise their level of consciousness using balance and creativity while developing a deeper understanding of the universal laws of energy and how innate intuitive natures, societal and environmental impressions influence our health, level of prosperity, and the level of happiness we are able to experience. In today's episode, John, who is an author, speaker, and business consultant, draws on his diverse collection of experiences as a corporate director, collegiate football player, spiritual mystic, and management coach who has advised countless corporate clients on building businesses with presence. John will share his program of Kaizen meetings, which offer the means for change and good results by developing greater teamwork through cooperation and through conquering limiting beliefs of the ego-based mindset to access Zenergy within self and the business process, which leads to a heart-based awareness, mindful and conscious ways to become more human and humane. And that is also the focus of my new book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, which shares insights through my work as a Reiki energy healer and medium in observing the interaction between soul-based innate wisdom and our ego or physical life. John, please tell us something of your earlier childhood life and how the seeds for your personal development and interest may have begun even then, early on in life.
Well, I'd love to, because early in life I was one who was quite full of doubt. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Number one, I was born on Friday the 13th, and with a name like Murphy, as in Murphy's Law, if anything can go wrong, it will. And by the age of three, I'd had two near-death experiences and was a very accident-prone kid, essentially. Very entrepreneurial in spirit, taking risks from a very early on age, but often getting hurt and starting to wonder if I wasn't just doomed, that if, in fact, if anything can go wrong, it will, and certainly to me. So it was through these tough breaks, you know, an accident in high school that where I was told I'd potentially be crippled the rest of my life and never play football again. And 2 years later, I was playing at Notre Dame. So I've had a number of times where I've been set back, and I've wept, I've cried, had to learn to let go. And in letting go and in suffering, so to speak, I've learned to get back up again in a stronger, more wise and effective way.
I actually had a question about when you were working on a crew, and that's when you had the accident where your foot was badly cut, and instead of becoming a victim and blaming others, you say in the book that you owned the problem. It was your foot, your doing, your life, and your future. You actually took charge and moved forward in such a positive way, and you let go of a lot of fear from your earlier childhood in that discovery. You write that you discovered a system for analyzing events and making positive moves. So what was that system? How were you going to analyze events and use what happened to move forward?
Well, and it's a system I use as a business consultant, and it's a way of defining and measuring the current state without emotion, without judgment. It's a very contemplative approach where, rather than thinking dualistically like the ego thought system, we think contemplatively. There's yin and yang. It's not good or bad, right or wrong. It's simply up and down, and there's contrast, and that contrast helps us understand what up means, because without down, there would be no up. So the universe is in a perfect balance. It's in perfect harmony. And yet we tend to jump into one dualistic side of it, so to speak, and throw stones at the other side, when in fact the whole harmony, the whole balance, it's like an orchestra, and we have to learn to see it as one and get past that dualistic thinking. So an example of dualistic thinking would be victim consciousness, okay, versus what I'd call champion consciousness, or, I'm not going to play victim. I'm going to own this. I'm going to define it. I'm going to measure it. I'm going to analyze it, and I'm going to find a way to turn lemons into lemonade.
Excellent. Well said. And you did, and you do. And we must. We all must learn to do this. Now, the title of your book is Zentrepreneur. How would you describe a Zentrepreneur, and how does one work towards achieving that title or status?
Well, it's another bridge across a dualistic mindset. In other words, a lot of people would say, I don't know what Zen has to do with business at all. I don't know what spirituality has to do with business. Aren't they separate? And again, so I'm challenging that separate, right, wrong, us, them, this, that mindset with Zentrepreneur is taking good ideas, taking thoughtful presence, poise, grace, and this mystical perception on life of non-dualistic thinking, of contemplative thinking.
Of course, Zen and spirituality and science and religion are all coming together with similar ideas, but actually they're bringing us back to an understanding of who we are, where we come from, what life is about, and what is possible when we eliminate negativity and doubt and go towards the more courageous aspect of our heart-based or innate guidance system or intelligence and wisdom of our soul. It comes down to
sure.
That. Yeah.
And now, I'd add action. And that's the entrepreneur part of it, because you can sit and meditate all day and get into the Zen side, so to speak. If you really want to do what your spirit is meant to do, it's meant to be creative and expressive and manifest ideas in Zen-like thinking into a better world by taking risk and taking action. So the Zentrepreneur isn't just about thinking positive. It's about doing good.
Yes.
It's about turning a good idea into a
action.
Great result.
It's about having the intent and idea and moving forward with it and action. Absolutely. It's not just a thought. It is proceeding forward into action that creates something better for yourself, better for the community, better for your business and the world. So let's go on to something that I was curious about. On the side of many of the pages, you have a group of smooth, round stones going from large to smaller at the top. Can you tell us what the meaning of that symbol is?
Oh, yeah, it's harmony and balance. It's very common among Zen practitioners, if you will, that we find ways to bring harmony and balance together. So many people, of course, have seen the image of the stacked stones. And, in fact, there's some of it's absolutely beautiful artwork where it's really about balance.
I found it very beautiful. I liked it very much. In your experience as a business consultant, what do you see as the most common mistakes that hold people back from reaching their desired goals or their full potential of themselves personally or their business?
Sure. Well, the first mistake I see all the time is people getting in their own way. Einstein once said that the significant problems we face cannot be solved at the same level of thinking that we were at when we created them. What I see is that we're creating a lot of our own problems and not knowing it. Now, with a victim consciousness, you want to point the finger at somebody else and say, well, somebody else is the problem and I'm the victim, or it's outside of my control, or it's beyond me. Those are just excuses to not act, to not take ownership, to not take risk. So, you know, we get in our own way and we don't even know it. We're so limited by the paradigms and the mental models that we believe consciously and subconsciously, that we don't even come close to reaching our true potential in life.
Yeah, so there's fear, insecurity, and many of the impressions that have been given to us since we're children. And this stops us from thinking we can do many things. So we stop ourselves. You know, when I was little, my dad used to say to me, because I was a very sensitive kid, a very creative kid, an intelligent kid, and I would get worried that I couldn't be perfect. And he would say to me, you're your own worst enemy. And so most people are, because they're listening to the outside world and they're not accepting themselves for who they are, what they want to do, and the power that they have from within to actually do it. So I didn't understand that as a child, and I'm sure you didn't either, but we do understand it now, and it is true. We must get beyond these beginnings, these misconceptions, these lies that we've told ourselves or that other people may have knowingly or unknowingly given to us.
Fear, I mean, fear is an illusion. It's a creation of the mind.
Yeah, many people buy into these systems because they think they must to be accepted in the peer group and in the world, but they are just really illusions of the mind, and we've got to get away from that. You know, I also address this idea, and I suggest in my book, The Living Spirit, that the reason many creative ideas are not manifested is because the fear of past conditioning and a lack of self-confidence often stop us from even trying to make an attempt to go forward. And then also there's the doubting people around us and the influences of the outside world. But what we need is a sense of trust and faith in ourselves and aligning ourselves to that higher source and reconnecting to our life plan, which all creative people at some point, all heroes in the story of life, eventually discover. It doesn't matter when they discover it, whether they're young or old, but they do discover that they are the hero of their own story and they're creating their own success or failure. There's no failure. There is only learning and becoming more aware of our inner world or soul world. So successful entrepreneurs value something very much, and you write about this, and I value this very much, and I talk about it on almost every show. They value something. Can you tell us what they really value that the world might not hold in such high esteem as we do, you and I?
They value freedom, and the spirit is seeking freedom, and it's captive in a body and in a mind and in so many cases in a body that's afraid. You know, being in spirit or inspired is fearless. And, you know, that's what it means. There's no fear with spirit. And so, you know, fear is something we create with the mind, and we captivate, you know, we imprison the spirit, which is seeking creative expression. And the spirit is our life force. So if we get in our own ways, like I said before, and we listen to what I call the yeah buts, and we let the yeah buts get in our way. So yeah, but this isn't a good time, or yeah, but somebody already tried that before, or yeah, but you're not old enough, or yeah, but you're too old. So that we're so full of excuses to not act, to not take ownership, to not take responsibility, to not take risk. That, you know, we all have dreams, we all have ideas, we all have pictures in the mind's eye of a brighter future. But we cast all this darkness on it via these yeah buts. But the real secret, you know, and something that as entrepreneurs and successful entrepreneurs value to your question is creative expression, all right? And like I say, a sense of freedom. They value ownership. They value responsibility and accountability, so they're willing to take ownership and responsibility and be accountable. They value a healthy degree of risk. That's what makes it exciting.
Yeah, so teamwork is a very powerful success factor. Now, I remember you write in the book that you went into one company and you thought you weren't going to be able to help those people, and because of what you saw going on there, and you said you weren't going to take on that project. And then somebody contacted you and you were able to go forward because you saw that you would be able to help them. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. This was a company that contacted me. I get this all the time. I'm not just a consultant that will take any work. I'm selective, so to speak. I want to make sure it's a good fit, that we're aligned, that it isn't just some kind of superficial charade. So this was a company that initially contacted me for some team training and some team building type things, because I've written several books on teamwork as well. And I went in and I talked to them and I said, well, have you done any team building training and team exercises and things like that before? And they said, well, yeah, we did some a year ago. And I said, well, how'd that work for you? And they said, well, it didn't. That's why we're contacting you. And I said, so now you're asking for more of the same? I mean, Einstein would call that insanity, expecting different results by doing the same thing.
What did you see going on in your consultation or interaction with the people in this company? What did you see that was the problem?
They weren't changing the organizational design and structure. They weren't looking at the organizational systems. So here's the problem. You send people off to team building training, and they come back to a non-team system with non-team measurements, with non-team incentives, with non-team reporting. In other words, a dysfunctional organizational design and structure. The team building training is going to wash off like a shower.
Yeah.
Okay, so the real secret to high-performance teamwork is designing it into your culture via the systems you use, the measurements, the incentives, the cross-training, the accountability systems, the information systems. You design it in. You don't train it in.
And you've got to also look at the individuals. If you have people who are very, I'm going to say, ego-minded or have agendas that don't work in tandem with the group and are not cooperating and are only interested in their own needs, that is the basis.
Oh, sure.
We have to start
sure.
at the individual level, and people have got to be helped to see their own behavior.
But I'll tell you something. Deming, who went to Japan in the 40s and 50s and taught total quality management, W. Edwards Deming, he's like the grandfather, if you will, of world-class total quality business systems. Deming said he said, put good people in a bad system, and the bad system wins no contest. I see that every day of the week in my consulting work. I see good people in lousy systems struggling, suffering. You can see it in the airlines. You can see it in the hotels. You can
yes.
see it in restaurants. You can see it in car dealerships. You can see it all over the place. Good people in a lousy system, and the lousy system wins. And
well,
the customers get upset, and the employees know the customers are upset. So the secret is about changing the systems and the structure and designing in peak performance and designing in a client-centric or customer-centric model and getting all the clutter and all the waste out of the way.
I agree. You mentioned a word, Kaizen, a Kaizen approach. What does this word mean, and how do you use it in creating a better business situation in your training?
Yeah, I'm actually running a Kaizen this week in California. A Kaizen event, it's a Japanese word, Kaizen, and it's two actually root words put together. K-A-I is Kai, which means to take apart and make new. And Zen, of course, is about bring harmony and balance in positive light, so to speak, into any situation. So Kaizen, when you put the words together, Kaizen is to take apart and make better. It's to make better. And so a Kaizen event is where you get a team of people together. So we've got a team this week from all over the United States working on a system, a process that's broken. So it addresses the good people, bad system situation. We're not looking at one or two people who might be out of line. We're looking at a system that's out of line. That's much more powerful. So we're redesigning the system so that we now have good people and a good system.
You know, John, I'm a Reiki practitioner, a master teacher, and that is also a Japanese healing art. It means the same thing, universal energy for change, for bringing in a connection and alignment to knowing ourselves, the world, and to making everything better, starting with the individual and going forward. So they're very similar in that regard. And you also have another term in the book. What is Zenergy?
Well, that's a fun little word I just made up, of course. We all know what energy is, and we're all basically energetic beings. We're spiritual beings. We vibrate at certain energetic frequencies. Everything in the world, everything in the universe vibrates at a certain frequency. So Zenergy is when we allow. It's not something we make or create. It's already around us. It's like the chi energy, but it's what when we allow life force and the Tao, the great flow of life, to flow through us, and we get out of our own way, and we get past the yeah buts, and we get past the excuses, and we allow our creative spirit, especially when we do it as a team, and that collective creative spirit, the genius of teamwork, I call it, we allow that to flow. We experience what I call Zenergy, which is this very motivating, very inspiring, almost mind-blowing frequency or energy, and it results in people who come in on a Monday to a Kaizen event, for example, where they're skeptical, they're doubtful, they just can't believe we're going to have changes in place by Thursday and Friday that are not just little tweaks but are complete overhauls in some case. I mean, we just had a Kaizen event where we took a process that averaged 53 days on average, and I got an email from the team last week where they said they just did it in 47 minutes.
Great.
So that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, and it's mindful. And you actually write about Zenergy. You write, Zenergy is ineffable. It is difficult to describe with words. Like grace, love, joy, forgiveness, and compassion, it must be experienced to be understood. People describe it in different ways, but the only way to know Zenergy is to feel Zenergy. Think of it as a divine energy field, a cosmic soup surrounding, connecting, and permeating us. It is within us, and we are within it. It is sacred intent. It is a life force. It is source energy. To tap Zenergy, we must lead from the heart and soul fearlessly and without doubt. The intellect, while critically important to effective leadership, will not show us or anyone else true spirit. We must go deeper to the level where people get the chills. I loved when you wrote that. And you know, John, this reminds me of a story in my first book, which was Life is No Coincidence, the Life and Afterlife Connection. And I was at a type of Kaizen Zenergy meeting, now that I have read your book and I'm aware of that terminology. So I was at this International Spiritual Federation in Canada, and a medium from Sweden stood up and she said to me, I have a message for you. You have to stop thinking with your head and begin feeling with your heart, and you will open up to the powerful informational field of universal energy and be a medium. And I went, oh, I don't think so. I did get the chills. I said, oh. And here it is 12 years later, and I have now written my second book, The Living Spirit, where I offer proof of this field of energy and eternal life. Afterlife.
That's right. And Cheryl, you had to get past one of your own yeah buts, and we all have.
Oh, yeah. There was the yeah but.
Right?
I said, no. Yep. But you see, when you're guided and when you care enough, when you are consistent in your behavior and wanting to learn, you may change. I never had a belief system in any of this. I was not raised that way. And look, how far we can come and what we can do and how much good we can do for ourselves and the world.
I was just going to say, we have to learn to listen better, too. So you listened to this woman, either consciously or subconsciously. And I always say we have to pay attention to who we and what we pay attention to. But so often we're paying attention to the wrong things, or potentially people that really don't know what they're talking about, but pretend like they do.
Absolutely.
We have to get past, you know, we have to get past that. And for whatever reason, you did, and you opened up, and you listened, and you explored.
I was receiving guidance from a higher dimensional field and help from people around me who were bringing me messages so I could fulfill my potential in this world. Week after I came back from that conference, I was a teacher in an elementary school. She came over to me and she said to me, there's a Reiki class in the city at the Association for Research and Enlightenment. Do you think you should go? And I went. You know, she found it for me because I had spoken to her of this story. You see, so it is. The means come in to do it. The help comes in to do it. But then you have to make the choice to go ahead. Right?
Sure. Yeah, you have to pay attention because there are synchronicities going on every day, every minute of every day.
It is.
There are no coincidences. And everything is, it's a beautiful orchestra. Problem is, we become so preoccupied, and our mind is anywhere but present most of the time, that we're just going through life on autopilot, being run by the subconscious mind, which is just a bunch of programs that we're operating on.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, a lot of those programs are just embedded with viruses and limiting beliefs. So the real secret, another secret of this entrepreneur, is to identify those limiting beliefs, those memes, those viruses of the mind, the subconscious programs, and delete them. Deleting them,
I like that.
By letting go. Yeah.
Delete those negative thoughts on any given day. 50% of the thoughts that come into each of us are negative or fearful, and we just delete them. I love that. And I want to thank you, John Murphy, author of Zentrepreneur, for joining us today to share a way to look at improving the internal workings of any organization or structure. Much like the way individually we progress spiritually, make changes, and grow through following practices that recognize at a spiritual level, harmony and balance are possible, and we can raise human awareness, perception, and comprehension. For more information on the path to Zentrepreneurship, go to venturemanagementconsultants.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, John has shared and integrated the art of positive thinking with the insights and visions of spiritual well-being or Zen energy to overcome resistance to change, to becoming more open to seeing possibilities rather than roadblocks or obstacles, to transcending fear-based and control-motivated behaviors, and to tapping into the creative and extraordinary power of the hidden wisdom and potential of each individual, all for the purpose of guiding us to the oneness and bringing this state of uniqueness into all aspects of our lives, our workplace, our homes, our friendships, and our soul development. As John writes, to lead with Zenergy, we must first experience it. We must know it from the heart, not the head. We must feel it and channel it with the heart, for it is with the heart that we communicate with spirit. This is a challenge for many headstrong analytical leaders. Zenergy is an emotional intelligence, not an intellectual abstract debate. It requires a sense of surrender to a higher power, a transcendence of the ego thought system. To lead with Zenergy, we must recognize and admit that we do not have the answers. In my book, The Living Spirit, Answers for Healing and Infinite Love, our answers for fulfilling our life destiny, utilizing universal energy connections, and transcending our challenges and fears comes from knowing we are spiritual beings having a physical life. and knowing that perfection is an impossibility in a physical world. But what is a possibility is the will and desire to develop your intuitive wisdom and make purposeful choices to live in a state of peace, happiness, health, and well-being, and to continue to answer your own questions as they surface for yourself. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the field of spirituality, science, medicine, the arts, and the business world as we continue to search for a higher view of life and self. Also, go to WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7.com. Thank you very much for joining us today.